Well, that was probably the that was the only way I would probably would be willing to do this. I never really thought that I would write a book until maybe, after I retired. And he approached me in the middle of quarantine when we really didn't know what was going on. It was kind of a good time to reflect. And because I'm comfortable with him, I think that was the key for me, being someone who's a kind of a shy, kind of a I kind of hold a lot of stuff in type of guy.
Yeah.
And so I needed somebody who I really trusted to be able to open up to. And Gene was the right guy for me. This is a book not just about football and game day and huge games and fun stuff like that. It's
Right.
also about just my life and my journey as a son and as a dad myself, and as an athlete and as a broadcaster. So there's a lot of different kind of layers to it. But yeah, Gene was the key to me doing it.
And by the way, you can start pre-ordering now. The book is entitled Out of the Pocket. When you had a chance to really reflect, which you have to do when you go through something like this, how much did your childhood, which is not exactly, with all due respect, for a child, it's rocky. How much did that shape
Yeah.
you? How much did that shape you today as a father and a husband?
Huge. Just for people that aren't aware, the movie The Sandlot, I mean, that was my life, my first 7 or 8 years. I mean, we had three TV stations back in those days, all of us in my generation. And I mean, we were outside playing in the yard. We were playing ball or playing freeze tag or four square or on our big wheels. I mean, it was just one thing to another. And it was heaven for me. We changed sports with the seasons, out in the yard as kids. And I was the youngest one of about probably 15 or 18 kids. And then one day my parents told me that they were going to get a divorce. And I think a lot of people can relate to that, whether they're going through divorce themselves or they were children when their parents went through it. And for me, my whole world just kind of changed pretty dramatically. We moved out of that neighborhood, and my dad, who was my hero my whole life, he played at Ohio State. He was a captain there. He coached with Woody Hayes. He was the guy that I just always wanted, his approval. Just he didn't ask me for it. I just loved him and just kind of worshipped him. And then all of a sudden, my dad was out of my life. He just was not real consistent with coming to see us, and he ended up marrying another woman and had another kind of a stepchild, and that was kind of his life. And so I was reeling a bit, from probably fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, even into eighth grade, and just moved around quite a bit. I mean, I probably moved schools every year from about third grade till I got into high school. And as a shy, just a naturally kind of shy, kind of an introverted kid, that's a tough thing to do when you're asked to move, from one school district to another every year. And so I just kind of held everything in all those years. I never really talked a whole lot to people about how I was feeling, really, even with my own family. And so I think my family's going to read this book and be like, "Wow, I didn't know you experienced this, or I didn't know you felt like this." And I'm hoping that there's kids out there, or even parents, where this book can help. If I told you how shy I was, you would never think that I'd be working.
Well, that's my next question. That's my next question, because the couple of times that when Penn State's playing and you're around, once in a while I'll run into you, and so everybody understands, this is a humble, no ego, down to earth guy. That's who you are, at least in my opinion. But you got into broadcasting. You could have had a lucrative career in sales. Look, if I had a dollar for everybody who told me not to go into it, okay? So you're probably in the same boat. Why did you do it, and why is your personality able to come out on the air that maybe it didn't come out when you were younger?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I studied business at Ohio State. I was a marketing major. And when I got done playing my last year, Ohio State was great about setting me up with different relationships and interviews. And I had pharmaceutical sales opportunities, at medical sales, at Worthington Industries. There's just a number of interviews that I was going through, and they were going pretty well. And at the same time, I floated out to a local radio station, "Hey, the idea, I grew up listening to talk radio. I just love talk radio." and really didn't listen to a ton of music, but I love listening to, in my case, it was WLW in Cincinnati.
Sure.
With Chris Collinsworth.
Yep.
And so when you grow up listening to that, and listening to the Reds baseball, that was just kind of my hot spot. Like, that was my hobby. And so I floated that idea to this local station, and they bit a month or two later and said, we'd like to hire you, start in August 30th and pay you $12,000, no benefits, no future, no nothing. I mean, you have no idea what it's going to lead to.
Yep.
And then I had these business opportunities that were incredibly lucrative at the time, and stability, which is what we all look for when you're young. And I opted to turn all those down and just followed my heart. Every person I asked to for advice, everybody, family, friends, all said, you're crazy, you got to take this job and get your life started. And I couldn't do it. I wanted to do something that I loved. And I had no idea where it would lead to game day and all these things. But I had my lesson that I learned that I try to talk to people about is, don't chase money. Follow something you have a great deal of passion for, and eventually you'll make a good living doing it. And at the very least, you'll love what you do. And I was lucky enough to make that choice. And things changed pretty quickly for me. And once I got my foot in the door with local radio, and a couple years later, you know, I ended up putting an audition tape together, and ESPN brought me in and hired me as a sideline reporter initially in 1995. And then an opening opened up on College Game Day in 96. And I went through that audition as well. And 25 years later, I'm on College Game Day. Yeah. So, and how did I get to that point? I think playing football, being interviewed a lot, right, by a lot of reporters, having microphones stuck in my face, cameras in my face, I think it kind of forced me to get comfortable with kind of that being uncomfortable thing. Because even to this day, like if you and I right now went to a mall together or went to a lunch together, it's almost, I don't know if I have social anxiety, but I'm not real comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the, like, when I walk into a restaurant, the last thing I want is for people to like stare at me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just, and not because of what I do for a living, it's just, I'm just not comfortable with that.
Right.
And so that's the hardest part for me really in doing my job is living in the public eye and people recognizing you, and they don't mean anything by it, but when they look at you and it doesn't make you comfortable. That's been the toughest thing of dealing with my job. And I've, over the time, and like anything else, the more reps you get, the more comfortable you get with it. But it's definitely taken a lot of time for me to go from being an introverted kid who wouldn't stand up in class and give a speech, I'll just take a zero, to now talking in front of millions of people, you know, in the Falls Saturday.
I think most people know that Lee Corso years ago had a stroke.
Yeah.
And Lee, of course, gutsy Lee Corso, battled his way back. But look, mm-hmm. let's be honest, along the way, Kirk Herbstreit, and Chris did this too, and Reese does it well. When he's needed, you've helped him. What is it about that relationship and about your heart that wants to make sure that no matter what, you want Lee to succeed?
I just love him. You know, he's my partner. He's been that way for 25 years.
Yeah.
It's not just the on-air relationship. If I just had an on-air relationship with him, I mean, we would have a bond, but I can't tell you how many times I've been at a photo shoot and we're in a car service going from the hotel to the set, and it's a 30-minute drive in Los Angeles, and it's just he and I. And I'm sitting there as a first-time father with preemie twins who were born 12 weeks early, and they're
wow.
2 pounds each.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, Coach, like, man, what about this? I always refer to it as like going to Yoda or Don Corleone with this. You go on for 10 or 15 minutes about your concern,
yeah.
and he sits there and kind of nods his head yeah. and listens, and then he gives you two sentences, and it's like, oh, that's what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's unbelievable the way he's done that for me. And so when you open up, and again, I don't have a lot of people to open up with,
right.
but when you open up and he listens and he hears you and he gives you feedback, man, you just learn to really
yeah.
appreciate that, you know? And then it's like anybody else you form a bond with, you know,
yeah.
you form a relationship, and we just happen to work on TV together, but man, I love him like another dad. You know, he's a special person to me, and anything I can do to ever help him in any way, it's the least I could do.
I can relate because, I mean, not in the dad part of it, but, you know, my broadcast partner, Jack Ham, we're very much the same way. We're very much the same way, as you know. At that, Maria Taylor did great work with you, for you, and so forth. She's moved on. Holly Rowe gets that spot. Your thoughts on Holly joining the broadcast team?
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, she's worked on so many big events and so many different sports that I know she's a college football junkie. And one thing about our crew is we are college football junkies. Like, we love the game. We love the scene. We love the drama and the emotion. And I think she'll fit in perfectly because of her passion for the game as well. So, you know, that at that role, we've had so many talented people that we have for a couple years. And then they, you know, they get new opportunities and they go on to become stars. And looking forward to Holly coming in and being a part of the team and just us always making our broadcast about the players, about the coaches, about the moment, not about us. You know, I don't know how you feel about that, Steve, but I feel like we live in a world of broadcasters and a lot of times with social media, a lot of people try to make things about them.
Yeah.
And to me, when you're covering a game, I'm sure, and when we're covering a game, man, you want to make it about the storylines and about the third and eight with 2 minutes to go in the game. Like, let the teams, let the players be the story, not us. And so I think she falls right in line with that approach as well.
That's exactly what I've told my broadcast class repeatedly. And I get to teach one here at Penn State. I've told them repeatedly, it's not you. It's not the game starring you. It's the game starring the players, starring the situation, starring the story, starring the coaches. I said, you're the conduit between the game and the fan.
Amen. Yeah, Keith Jackson joined. He was about maybe 6 to 8 months before he passed. He was kind of frail, and it was near the end. And we did a Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
I've been fortunate to do a bunch of them.
I saw him in the hallway. That was our Rose
Bowl. I was going to wonder if that was a Penn State year or not. I couldn't remember.
It was. I saw him.
You saw where he was at that stage, and he came in, and he stood behind us for maybe 10 minutes as we were with headphones on, and he was just kind of standing there. And then we had him on briefly to come on, you know, and just kind of say a few words. And then I can't remember if he said it on the air or off the air, but he just talked about how the importance of making it, always make it about the play, about the players and the coaches, you know. And I've already felt that. And I think it's from probably your generation, my generation. That's how we kind of grew up.
Yes.
And it just felt so good to hear him, of all people, kind of reconfirm what we already kind of felt. But I hold that in the back of my mind. Every broadcast I do, whether it's game day, a studio show, which is a very different job as an analyst, or the game, I just always remember that and appreciate him telling me that.
I don't want to exceed my time with you here.
Oh, no, it's fine.
So I just want to make sure I can ask a couple more here, because that's your time's more important.
Oh, no, it's great.
No. So people, of course, since we're here, just initial thoughts on Penn State going in.
I'm excited. It's going to be a bounce back year. You know, I don't think they ever recovered from that was it a two-pointer? I can't remember if it was a touchdown or a two-pointer.
Yeah, it was a two-point conversion, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we could sit here still and watch that video. If you're a Penn State fan, I was watching it. I was like, you know, there's no way he's in, and I wasn't rooting for either team, but ended up obviously calling it good, and I think it really, if they get the call go the other way and they got Ohio State at home, who knows? I mean, I don't know if they beat Ohio State, but I think it would have been a different season, and I think with everything else going on with COVID and contact tracing, and I think some of these teams when they hit got some bad news, I think they were more fragile than a typical year. And, you know, Sean obviously didn't have a great year. And if your quarterback's not consistent, especially in that kind of offense, it's going to be tough. I don't know if the OC was a great fit. I think that was kind of a tough deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mike coming over, I think people will really like what he does. And I know the beneficiary will be Sean Clifford because of the way he communicates and the way he likes to attack So I expect a bounce back year. I mean, it's exciting to me because they play Wisconsin, who didn't have a great year themselves a year ago. And you talk about, you know, no preseason football, no non-conference games. You open up at Camp Randall, and if we have fans, I mean,
yeah.
game on. Of all the games
yeah.
and all the first week, that to me, and I'll probably talk about it on game day, is one of the more interesting matchups of the entire opening weekend because of the way the two teams played a year ago, because they don't get Ball State and Villanova and others to get ready to play a game of that magnitude. So if Sean's more consistent, which I expect him to be in this offense, I think Penn State will be one of the great stories of bouncing back from what happened a year ago.
One final general question on football, then I'll get back to one last question in the book, then I'll let you go if that's okay. And the general
sure.
one is Texas-Oklahoma, of course, make the seismic move to the SEC, which not going to happen now, but we all know it's been approved. There's a lot of talk about the 12-team playoff. So where are you right now with college football, and do we have to remember what made college football great to allow it to go forward?
Well, I think we have to, right? I mean, I think the sport is very different from the other sports that we all follow. I mean,
yes.
we love them all, but the pageantry, the tailgating, the sense of community, whether you're in State College or Columbus or Austin, Texas or Tallahassee, the sense of community when those six or seven Saturdays a year come around, the way people get together, they have the same parking spot that they've had since 1984 or whatever, you know, whatever it is. And the bands and the cheerleaders and the student section. I mean, it's just, can you say that about any other sport out there?
No.
And so if we lose sight of that, then I think we're in big trouble. There's going to be, as you say, seismic changes, and it's happening. It happened, you know, years ago, and it's continuing to happen. The big thing, I think, is where do we go from here? Is the Big 12 gone? I mean, what happens to Kansas State? Right. What happens to Iowa State? Where are all these teams going to go? Are we headed to a four-conference, like mega-conference, and they pull out of the NCAA, create their own world, their own legislative body, and governing body, and is that where we're headed? Are we going to do away with the NCAA for the power conferences? I don't know. It feels kind of like that. It feels like Texas and Oklahoma were two big dominoes that have just fallen, and it's putting Kevin Warren and these other conference commissioners in a position of, are you on offense? Are you on defense? Are you trying to hold on to teams? Or are you trying to go out and grow? So it's going to be, in 5 years from now, Steve, if we had this conversation, I think we're going to obviously know a lot more.
Yeah.
But right now, it's all we know is change is coming. Even more change is coming, and I just hope that fans, players with name, image, and likeness, the transfer portal, we just don't get away from what's made this game so great for so many decades.
The book is entitled Out of the Pocket, Atria Books. It comes out on the 17th, but you can pre-order the book. And I believe Barnes & Noble will be one of the carriers of the book as well. So we will make sure everyone
yep.
understands all of that going into it. And it goes through everything. And there'll be a part of the book I'll be able to relate to as well. I believe your dad had Alzheimer's. Passed away.
Yeah.
Mine had Alzheimer's
yep.
passed away. So there'll be enough that a lot of people from a lot of different areas, even if you're not a deep college football fan, you'll be able to relate to because of life. So, Kirk, best of luck with this book. I'm really glad you wrote it. I can't wait to read it. And thanks so much for the valuable time you gave us today.
Oh, man. Thank you for allowing me to come on with you to talk about it and talk a little college football. And hopefully we'll see you real soon, man. I can't wait to get college football going where we can talk about games. And
yes.
Look forward to seeing you at a game soon.
Yeah, absolutely, Kirk. Appreciate it and look forward to seeing you as well. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot.